All right, welcome to the Third Option Podcast. We talk about a number of issues, what's going on in our nation and kind of how the Bible pertains to it and kind of what the church is doing too. This is like our seventh podcast. And
wow,
we want to start out by giving shout outs to some of the listeners, and we just want to thank you guys for listening. First of all, our friends in Hawaii, we have Simon over there, and
DJ, Rebecca,
and Lindsay. We want to shout out to you guys, say you guys are awesome. Appreciate your guys' podcast and want, you know, to encourage you guys to keep it up. Also, our Agape Shepherds group, this is kind of our church in Woodland that we meet with on a weekly basis. We want to thank you guys for being part of our lives. It's always we've had some great conversation with you guys based off these podcasts. We're both part of different churches, Kilpatrick, Sunfield Church. Thank you guys. The person in Sweden, we're still very interested that you're still listening.
Yes.
Whoever you are, thank you.
Thank you.
And then I want to thank my friend Derek. Had a good conversation this week. We talked about a number of issues that we've talked about on the podcast, and he had some disagreements and concerns, and we really appreciate that. We want to hear those things because we might actually follow up a podcast sometime with those questions. So please go ahead and share your questions with us, and just tell us that we're completely wrong so that we can look into Scripture more and make sure we're right. So it's November, and this is the month that we celebrate Thanksgiving in America. And in America, the way we celebrate Thanksgiving, there's a number of ways we do it. But when for me growing up, the biggest thing was the family gatherings. We would meet as usually the extended family. So my maiden name is the Wells family. We would meet with all of them. There was like 40 people in a house. It was madness. But as a kid, I loved it.
And that was in Sunfield?
Well, it was in the Lakewood area. We all live in the area.
Okay.
So we were meeting all the time. And we ate lots of food. I think a lot of people, I mean, like, it's funny. My wife said her work is putting out a challenge that you have to put your weight in. And then if you don't gain weight over the holidays, you win like $30 or something.
Okay.
So that's the challenge. Because it's common that we gain about 5 or 10 pounds over the holiday month, starting with Thanksgiving. Actually, some people say starting with Halloween, but starting with Thanksgiving.
Wow.
In my house, we didn't go to church growing up, but we always had a prayer before dinner. It was like 2 times a year. It was like Thanksgiving and Christmas, the only times we'd pray before
ritual.
Dinner.
Ritual.
Yep. We watched a lot of football. Always watch the Lions lose every year. It's very disappointing. And then the next day is always a big shopping day. We have Black Friday. And that's kind of a celebrated holiday to go spend a lot of money on crap you don't need. So, you know, it's a very
what
American.
What could be more American than that,
that's
Mike?
That's right.
What could
Amen.
Be?
America.
Yep, eating lots of food, football, spending money.
And then some people now are just saying, forget Thanksgiving, it's Christmas time. And they already have their trees up, they're ready to go. We also, during the weekend of Thanksgiving, we'd always put up our Christmas decorations.
Isn't that normally the rule, right?
It is.
After Thanksgiving or something?
A lot of people are now doing it after, after Halloween, I guess. A lot of people have their decorations up. And then we've noticed a new trend is people start shopping now at like 6 o'clock at night on Thanksgiving. And that kind of takes away from the Thanksgiving family time. So it's changing a little bit because it used to be you'd go like 4 in the morning and start your shopping. Okay. But retailers, they wanted you to come earlier and earlier to spend more.
So they wouldn't cut into Thanksgiving Day.
That's right. Originally they cared about that, but now they don't. And it all started with one person just kept backing it up, and then everybody has to jump on board because they need the sales too.
Okay.
So now it's to the point where you shop at 6 p.m. because there's specific sales that at 6 p.m. at night that day. There's specific sales sometimes at midnight.
And it's only at that time?
Yes.
Okay.
And then there's specific sales you get in the morning and in the afternoon. Now there's Santa Bucks, like you go to Meijer on Saturday. So you need to shop the whole time. And then there's Cyber Monday now.
Okay, yeah.
Moving right into spending more money. So, you know, we already talked about money.
So,
here, but this is when you blow it.
Yeah.
All of it.
That weekend.
Yep.
Oh, man. Now, did you say that it was going to be earlier this Thursday?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Thanksgiving? It's been about 6 p.m., I think. I don't know if it's earlier now. It'll be interesting to see if it is. I mean, once you see the ads, it'll tell you when it starts. But that's pretty much a good picture, I think, of how Americans now celebrate Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a story a long time ago about the pilgrims. We'll talk a little bit about that. But and we used to read about that in school, and I've heard now they don't talk about that in school because there's some levels of racism to talk about the Indians in the way they do. So they've started removing the talk of the pilgrims because they find some of it racist.
Yeah, I'm not sure what if they teach that or not.
Yeah,
I don't know. I would assume that probably most schools still do.
Yeah, some schools do. I hope so. Sure. I mean, it's a good story, but I don't think. I mean, the Christian element's been removed. And even growing up, I don't remember it being a Christian story.
Oh, okay.
It was a story about a group of people and Indians coming together to eat turkeys and corn.
Right. That's right.
And that's all I remember about.
Didn't you watch Pocahontas the part two or something? I don't know.
Yep.
Yep. So we're going to kind of go into more like the word Thanksgiving and sort of what that kind of means in the New Testament, in the Bible. And so starting off, we're going to talk about the word behind Thanksgiving in the Greek. And that word is Eucharisto. And this is a compound word from prayer and joy. So it's both those words put together. And so it's this idea of a joyful prayer that you're offering. And so the definition is obviously to be thankful, grateful, or a joyful prayer. And the general use of the term has to do with just general thanks towards God. Just in a general sense, but also you can see it used for like before meals. That'll also happen throughout the New Testament. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, in John chapter 11, verse 41, there's just a general sense of, so they took away the stone, Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you that you have listened to me." So it's just the word there, thank you, is Eucharisto. And so, it's just a general thanks that's happening.
Yeah.
And the same thing in Acts 28:15, Paul thanks God. So it's just a general thanks for what's happening in the situation. And again, it's the same word there. So then it goes into like meal times, and Jesus feeds the 4,000. And Jesus feeds the 5,000. In those different situations, Jesus is taking the loaves. He gives thanks. And again, it's the same Greek word there, that you're going to have this thanksgiving towards God. And then he breaks the bread. And, you know, and then a miracle takes place and everybody's fed and stuff like that. But it's the general thing of what they did back then before you ate them. Ate a meal, you would give a thanksgiving to God.
And I joined the church later in life, but that's actually something that they have passed along at a light level to even the secular world, this idea of giving thanks during Thanksgiving and prayer.
Yep.
I think everybody does it.
Yeah.
Even non-believers, they do that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just part of the tradition.
People who probably don't go to church very often are like, maybe once did when they were young, but haven't, you know, for decades or something. Yeah, that tradition still kind of lingers in the culture a little bit. That on these special occasions, you're going to say a prayer, and that's always kind of interesting.
Yeah.
You know, that still somehow holds in.
I mean, now looking back at our childhood, I mean, for being a non-Christian family, now my dad grew up as a Methodist. So he held on some traditions, and the fact that this is one of those things we would do on special holidays. I did, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, and I would probably say Easter, too.
Yeah.
Even though we didn't celebrate anything Christian, mm-hmm. it's just interesting that was part of our, it was kind of part of that day, that yeah. holiday.
They would give thanks. Yep, and interesting situation was in Acts chapter 27, verse 35, where Paul gives thanks. They're going to have this meal, and this is right before Paul's like a prisoner with these other guys, too. There's a bunch of prisoners on the ship, and the ship's going to crash. It's going to shipwreck. And Paul, before, you know, all this kind of really goes down, they drop anchors before they're going to go into these rocks. And then the ship's finally going to bust up. But he gives thanks to God in front of them all, you know, and breaks the bread, and that they all begin to eat. And he's telling them that they're all going to survive, you know, because the Romans are like, no, you know, we're going to have to kill all these people because they can't let the prisoners escape. Yeah. You know, that's the death penalty if that would happen if you were a guard mm-hmm. back then. And so there, Paul's saying, nope, everybody's going to survive. We're all going to make it. It's going to be fine. And he gives thanks, you know, he's breaking the bread. But again, even in that situation, he is offering up a thanksgiving to God. And so this was something that was commonly practiced, even when you're reading about, like, just history of the time for the Jewish people.
Yeah.
This is what would be commonly done. You would give thanksgivings very, very often for a number of different reasons. But meals is definitely one of them that would happen.
We eat a lot of meals.
Yeah.
We like food. Mm-hmm. I like a lot of food. And yeah. And really, if you're going to eat food, you might as well eat it with some Christian brothers and give some thanks.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we should have that mentality that we should have, like, a joyful thanks in what God has given us.
Yeah.
You know, we shouldn't be taking, like, even meals, even though it seems like it's, I don't know, the land of the plenty, you know, that there's always meals around. We shouldn't take that for granted. Mm-hmm. We should still have the mindset to be thankful, you know, even in your daily meals that you're having.
Yeah.
And again, the word is this idea of, like, a joyful thanksgiving. And I think sometimes when we pray for a meal, it's more like it's this ritual I got to get out of the way before mm-hmm. I can dig into the food. Yeah. And we shouldn't have that mentality. It should be this time to rejoice in what God has given us. And it also, I think, helps us to have a measure of humility to remind ourselves that you are dependent, you know, upon God for everything. Mm-hmm. I think often we think, you know, no, this is by my hand. That's, you know, right. This is my paycheck that earned me this mm-hmm. food here.
Yeah.
And it's easy to kind of just, yeah, I'll pay, you know, God his dues, and we'll just kind of move on.
The abundance we have of food, I think it's almost like embarrassing to be thankful for the provision when it's not a it's an abundance. Mm-hmm. I mean, we eat so much. I mean, I'm a big dude. I like
You've
to
lost
eat.
A lot of weight,
I've lost a little bit of pounds. But it's still like it's a thing we need to be thankful for, even if it's kind of hard to do so. I mean, I've heard people in prayer say, like, bless this food to our body. And sometimes I'm thinking, I don't know how God's going to bless this burrito to my body. Okay. So I'm careful. I'm more trying to think, you know, I should be thankful for my food. I don't know if I'm going to ask God to bless it to my body because, you know, maybe if I was putting some veggies in there, that's something to ask. But when you're, you know, have a burrito smothered with
Taco
cheese
Bell.
And oh my goodness, there's no blessing in my body. Okay. So it can be rough.
Yeah, I think it's something that always happens with doing something over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
You tend to get a little bit lax about it and just kind of phone stuff in, you know, just kind of go along with, you know, the ritual of doing it. You know, it just becomes an act that you do before you eat.
So if you're with a group of people who aren't believers, Nathan, what do you think you should do when it comes to eating food.
I think you should still pray. I mean, as a Christian, you're giving thanks to God. You know, we have this worldview, right? That God's really the one who's providing everything, that's sustaining everything. Not just food, but everything. That he's the real one who's actively in control. We don't believe in a passive God, you know, that he's active and he's doing things. And that the reason you have something to eat, you know, God's in control of that. And so, again, if that's your worldview, I don't know why you wouldn't thank God, even if there's people.
Yeah, it's irrelevant.
Because...
And if anything, it's a good testimony, and it's a good acknowledgement who you believe.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's under your breath, it's still more than nothing. I'll say I've missed that boat sometimes where it's like I'm out with a group and I actually just don't even think about it
because
we're in the middle of a conversation. And you know what's always embarrassing to me is when I look over and I notice somebody else praying.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's kind of like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, what a failure I am. I didn't even think to do it. And I looked over and see someone else doing it. It's like, man, you know, good for them. Like, to me, it was like, it's, I need to humble myself and be convicted with that, to see another Christian praying in a uncomfortable situation with a group of people who most likely are not believers.
I know what you're talking about. Like, I'm with, you know, all these other coworkers or whatever, you know, in a job. Well, they don't pray or anything, so you don't think about it. But then when you're with church people outside of church... at a restaurant,
praise
you're
Jesus,
like,
amen.
You're like, whoa,
we
you
gotta
know,
pray, guys.
This
it's
is gonna be awkward. Like, who's gonna start this prayer?
Yes.
Like, are we gonna pray? Should I start to pray? Yeah. Like, should I go out there on that? Are they gonna think that's uncool?
Right.
Or like,
you're
not really sure of the situation because you know, like, prayer could happen in this situation.
Right.
And you're not really sure how to approach it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, I think you as an individual should pray, you know, this should be who you are regardless of who you're around.
I mean,
this
example of give thanks during food, eating, or like breaking bread is all over the place in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
The same word keeps coming up. The Eucharist, I can't even say it right, but...
Yep.
So it comes up all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is pretty common.
Yes.
You're right. 100%. Yep. Yeah, it's a very common word that's in the Bible.
And... on top of that, I was looking up the word, and I did notice this one time where the context actually is a negative, in negative context, and that's it's when the Pharisee, it says the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you," which is, can you say the word, the Greek word,
Eucharisso.
Mm-hmm. Okay. "That I am not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth to all I get." Somebody who's boasting about how great he is, and he gives, and he's better than this person.
Mm-hmm.
This person who is beat up off to the side of the road. As I remember, they were like ragged on this, just pretty much unhealthy, ragged, and looks down on life. And then Jesus responds, "I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified," meaning the tax collector, "before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." It's just important to know, we got to be careful what we're thankful for.
Yeah.
Are we being Christ-like in our actions?
Your thanks.
Don't be thankful because of somebody else's... you know,
failings or whatever.
Yeah, like we shouldn't look down upon other people because of their problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's a pretty wicked thing.
Yeah, pride. I mean, it's kind of talking about pride in the thanks.
Yep.
You know, his thanksgiving is sort of prideful, and that he's just putting everybody else down to lift his own self up. Yeah, definitely. And then the... like more famous passages where this word appears is in the Lord's Supper. And this is even called the Eucharist when you go to church. That's like the term for it, the fancy term, Eucharist. And that's where they get it from. It's from the Greek. And so this is where you have communion. and you go up in front, or however they do it at your church, past the plate of wafers, styrofoam, tiny.
I feel like I'm eating styrofoam, and I shouldn't even let my children eat it because we wouldn't encourage them. Encourage them to eat styrofoam at home.
No.
And it's like, what happened? I get the loaf of bread is disgusting. Everybody touches it. I don't mind.
But real food.
Yeah. I want to eat, a piece of bread at least.
But anyways.
And then, follow it up with some grape juice.
But, so, this is Jesus giving thanks, as he's having this Last Supper.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of, meaning and things attached to that last Eucharist there with his disciples. And then in the Pauline epistles, especially, you will see this word appear, thanksgiving. And usually at the beginning of many of his letters, this is how it...
This is the first word he actually says.
Well, not always the first. Okay. It'll be in there like verse 2 or verse 3. I see, 3,
but pretty close. In the sentence structure, it's the first word.
It's very, very close, yep. And he's thanking God, and he'll say, like, we are thanking God. So there's a group of people, apparently. But we are thanking God, I'm thanking God. And he'll use the word for all of you. And he's talking to the believers at those churches. And so many of the thanks is thanking God for these other Christians and what's going on there.
Yes. Yeah.
Even to the Corinthians.
Right.
Yeah. So even though they get a lot of flack, that's kind of how he starts it off. Mm-hmm. And so he's thankful for all the people, even though he has to have a lot of problems to deal with, with the Corinthians. Yeah. But, and then you have the Thessalonians who are doing great, but he's giving thanks to God for these believers, no matter what was going on.
Hmm.
And he thanks God that, for what their faith is, for what... They're known, he's like, you guys are known throughout the world, all this stuff as to what's going on there. And so some of the questions I had was, how often do we tell our fellow believers how much we pray and thank God for them? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't this be encouraging if we did more of that? Thanking God for... just what everybody's doing, in the body there.
I have kind of a story with that one. At our old church, there's this older gentleman. He was actually the pastor, Pastor Roy Atherton, his dad. I can't remember his dad. I think it was Bob.
Hmm.
And Bob, he was about 90 years old, farmer. And he came up to Darcy and I once and opened up his Bible and showed that our names were written on his Bible.
Okay.
And to tell us that he was praying for us every day.
Yeah.
And when he said it was like an emotional response of, like he really cared about us.
Yeah.
This is somebody that we would see on Sunday. See, like, it's like you see him at church.
Yeah.
You say hi, you enjoy being in fellowship with him, but you really didn't talk that much.
Yeah.
But just knowing that somebody was praying for us is huge.
It's huge.
And
it's
we've heard those stories in our Christian circle that there's people praying. With the school, we know the kids are praying.
Yep.
Each and every day, they pray for the church, the church bodies in the area. They even pray for enemies in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They pray for situations in the world where Christians are being persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of prayer for the brothers and the sisters.
Yeah, and I think it's a deeply encouraging thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wish more of that would happen. I think, the bond of unity would grow so much stronger if we knew we were kind of all in with each other in that.
Yeah.
And again, when you see that letter, it's a real thanks.
Yeah, saying? Absolutely.
And that's sort of kind of the hard core of the issue of the word itself is that there is like this... this feeling of like deepness for what's being prayed for. It's not just like something we're doing, like a ritual thing that we're doing, but it's supposed to mean something. Mm-hmm. And so when somebody's sharing with you, like, you know, I pray for you night and day, you know, mm-hmm. and this is what Paul will be saying, like, we, you know, are constantly thanking God for you and praying for you. And, you know, that means a ton. And I think that's something the church could do a lot more of for one another. And it's just one of those things you got to start thinking different about what's your, you know, devotion to one another, mm-hmm. right? Sort of that Acts idea of church there. Are we devoted to one another and thanking God for one another?
Yeah. You know? I know our agape, like, we go house to house every week, and this week it's at our house, and because of the studies on Thanksgiving mm-hmm. and understanding being thankful, mm-hmm. I've decided we're going to break bread together and give thanks.
Okay.
So we're going to do communion in our houses.
Okay.
Because we can do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is something anybody absolutely. Can do. I mean, you guys could, if you're with mm-hmm. a group of believers. Yep. You can break bread. I mean, that's what we're doing. We're eating together. We're gonna be more symbolic and actually break mm-hmm. bread, drink wine or mm-hmm. Grape juice, whatever people prefer.
Yeah.
And we're gonna stand around and say what we're thankful for.
Yeah.
To really get into the spirit of mm-hmm. Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And again, are we praying for our church and other churches? Are we thankful for those people in our church? You know, I think people we just kind of see on Sunday and then go on throughout the week and then see them again next Sunday.
And I was reading, it was a little blurb about the early church, and they made a comment that one thing the church was known for is they weren't complainers. Mm-hmm. They were very thankful people mm-hmm. who loved each other.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we might get in circles and we'll start complaining about churches or talking badly about another church that mm-hmm. Maybe their focus is wrong or you think their sermons aren't as good or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what Christians should be. We shouldn't be a group of people who gossip and complain.
Yeah.
We should be a group who's thankful and praying for our mm-hmm. brothers and sisters regardless to where they go.
Yep.
Because there's good people. There's good Christians in every church.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that meets on a Sunday or meets during the week.
Yeah. And again, with Paul, you know, he starts off 1 Corinthians thanking, you know, God for them. And it's...
And we're talking the Corinthians.
Yeah.
Which you read the rest of Corinthians and it's a completely...
Talking about church problems. Yes. Yeah, there's some serious church problems. Yeah. But, so even in churches that aren't doing well... You know, that's a good reason to be praying for them.
Absolutely,
you know, and to again have that thanks. So now, kind of that we got an idea for like the biblical precedent for the idea of Thanksgiving. This word, we're now going to go to the story that's really the reason as to why it happens in the United States as a holiday. And just going to kind of briefly go over the pilgrim experience that happened here. And so the pilgrims grew up in a, or lived in a tumultuous time in Christian history. A lot was going on. You know, you had the Reformation, but then things are... You have like the after effects of what Luther has done and how it's changed Europe and still is changing Europe, you know, at the time of the pilgrims. And one of the things that were happening in England was there was this group called the Puritans, and they were named this because they were driven to purify the official Church of England through a return to the Bible. So they felt like in England, reform wasn't happening far enough. And so they desired that the reform would keep happening. They felt like things were still too much based on the tradition of the church and too close to Catholicism and stuff like that. And so the Puritans wanted to have a return to the Bible, leaving these church traditions and those traditional beliefs that weren't backed up by Scripture. Now, that was the dominant group of that was kind of pushing this, these reforms. But within England, there was the group of separatists. And these aren't exactly Puritans. This is a little bit different because the Puritans thought they could kind of reform the church. They thought they could reform England to a more biblical church. Well, the separatist group thought the church can't be reformed. They're too far gone. We need to separate. That's why they called separatists, because they wanted to separate from the official Church of England. They thought it was too far gone, and they wanted to get back to what was in the Bible, as they thought, and start their own church, essentially is what they did. And the separatists are the pilgrims who come. And it was worse to be a separatist than a Puritan. It's far more dangerous. And so this is really why there was so much persecution against them, because they weren't willing to work with the official state church. They're trying to start this new thing. And so that was illegal. You can't do that. And so that caused a lot of problems. And so during the 1580s, you know, these separatists were repeatedly put in prison in England. And then in 1593, the pilgrims' main church leaders were executed for sedition, except their leader. He got away. But so a lot of their leadership was killed. Mm. So things aren't going super well for the separatist group. They're being heavily persecuted. And so in 1607, some of the group decides to split and travel to Holland, across the ocean there. So that way they can escape the persecution in England. And it's a lot more liberal there than in England.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a good hiding place. And so they stay there a while, but they see their kids kind of being like the culture that they're raised in and being more like the Dutch people and stuff like that. And so they don't like that. And so they decide they need to leave there. They're not going to be able to go to England. You can't stay here. Well, they eventually decide to travel to the New World, to America. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of things that happen to get to that point where they can leave, and they head off and take this risk, you know, to travel across the ocean to this place. And in the time that they're leaving, 2 years before is when the 30 Years' War breaks out. And this is Catholic countries versus Protestant countries. And by the end of this war, 8 million people will die. And it won't, the war won't be trumped in deaths until World War I.
So was the war based off of the two Christian worldviews?
Yes. Okay. So because of the Reformation, this is going to hit ahead and there's going to be war.
Wow.
And so it was really bad time. There's just a lot of turmoil going on, you know. People are persecuting this group. So there's a lot of reasons as to why they're like, let's leave for this other place.
Yeah.
You know, let's take the risk and travel across the ocean to this wilderness where there's nothing, you know, that no civilization there that they think of. And you're just going to try to make it out here. You know, that's a big risk, but what are the other choices if you're this group's view, right?
Yeah.
That we believe that we need to just start the church and, you know, do our own thing. Well, it's illegal, you know.
Now, so were they a group of, like, pacifists, weren't they, between these two wars?
The separatists?
Yeah.
No, they're not necessarily pacifists.
Okay.
They just believe, like, they should get back to the church's form of church governing, like with elders and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like that's in the New Testament.
And to do so, they pretty much have to get out of this situation.
Yeah.
Between these two conflicting views.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they weren't picking either side, right? They weren't picking Protestant or the Catholic side.
Yeah, I mean, technically they would be considered a Protestant group, but you're right. They don't fit in with the Puritans necessarily either, right? Mainstream Puritans aren't about leaving the church. Like, that's too extreme. That's too crazy.
Yeah.
And it's against the law. You know, that's another reason not to do it. And so they, you know, this war is breaking out, so it's a good time to leave. And so they depart for this trip, and they come to the New World through, like, tons of storms. They're actually off track. They didn't go to the right spot to land, so they landed far away from any of the help that they were planning on from Virginia. And so they land way far away up in Massachusetts, and before they go to land, their leader, William Brewster, for a prayer, offers a thanksgiving, and he goes and prays Psalm 100. And so, again, there's a thanksgiving even before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, the reason, why are they doing that? Why are they doing these thanksgivings? And it's because they're getting it from the Bible. You know, that's why they're having these times of thanksgiving. And, you know, being on the boat, on the ship, and offering up this thanksgiving kind of reminds me of, like, Paul and Acts right before they land on the island, you know, offering up that thanksgiving as well. And so, you know, the rest of the story, we kind of know what happens, right? They sign the Mayflower Compact. They're going to, you know, start this new colony for the advancement of the Christian faith and in the name of God, you know, and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they think they're doing. They're coming to this new place, and they're going to do Christianity right this time, right? That's what they're thinking, that they're going to start this new Christian, I guess, utopia in a sense that's going to happen, where they're going to get back to the Bible, back to the way it's supposed to be. And nobody's there to stop them this time. And so they're like, this is really going to work. But the first winter is terrible in 1620, so they get there in November. Then the winter is already hitting, but the winter is brutal, and 45 of the 102 people die. And so it leaves 57 to carry on for the next year. So that's pretty brutal loss when you arrive, pretty devastating to your group. And I would imagine you feel pretty hopeless about your situation, that if that many people died last year, like, we're all going to die. You know, we're not going to make it very long. You know, we landed way off course. You know, Virginia is way far away. How are we going to get help? You know, what are you going to do? You're cut off. There's no cell phone. You know, there's no ways to communicate.
Yeah.
It's like being trapped on Mars or something. Nobody's going back. You know, nobody's going to get help to come save you. But they develop good relations with the native peoples there, and in 1621 they sign a peace agreement with the natives to help the pilgrims sustain themselves. And they have a successful harvest the next year, and so there's a Thanksgiving celebration. And there's a little quote here from one of the people who was there talking about just kind of what happened, given an account. And he says, "Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent four men on fowling," which means they're going out hunting some birds, "that so we might, after a special manner, rejoice together after we had gathered the fruits of our labor. They four, in one day, killed as much fowl as, with a little help beside, served the company almost a week. At which time, amongst other recreations, we exercised our arms, many of the Indians coming amongst us, and among the rest, their greatest king, Massasoit, with some 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted, and they went out and killed 5 deer, which we brought to the plantation and bestowed on our governor, and upon the captain and others. And although it be not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish you partakers of our plenty.
So that's his account kind of describing the events of what was taking place. And again, that's where the Indian idea is. The Indians are there with the pilgrims, and they're having a feast from hunting and doing all these other various things and giving thanks. And again, the idea that they give thanks, this is just something that they did because it's a biblical type thing that you would give thanks to God for these provisions and stuff like that. And so that's sort of where we get it today.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Nathan, for another good history lesson.
Some history.
This is some good stuff. And a lot of it, I mean, there's a lot of information there I've never heard. Because really, growing up and going to public schools, there's no Christian element ever taught. So I don't know about these Christian wars or anything. Oh, okay. Yeah, all we know is about the ending there.
Yeah, 30 years war is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, sorry. I had no clue there was a 30-year war.
Kind of a big deal.
Protestants of the
is all of Europe thrown into war. Wow, devastating. Yep.
Yeah, maybe everybody else knows that. I don't. I don't know.
Pretty ruthless.
All right. So some takeaways. So Christians break bread together. They're thankful for provisions, even if they just. I mean, you look at the hardships the pilgrims went through. I mean, a high cost to do what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for the future of Christianity in their mind.
Yeah, they thought. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a little disappointing. I don't know if their reality is what we're at today.
Massachusetts is pretty different than what they thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, at least, I mean, they got to see their vision at a small level, at least.
Yep.
Of what they were going for.
Yep.
But yeah, like, make sure when you're in gatherings, give thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Be in prayer for people you care about.
Yeah, Christians have a long history of giving thanks for all that God has done. I think this is just another great time to be able to give thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Should be done all year long.
Yeah, it should be done all year
just
long.
For Thanksgiving. But at this time, it's a good time where we can do it with our families and just anybody we're around.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks for listening again to the Third Option podcast. We will continue on every 2 weeks to record a podcast. And we're just, we're thankful that we get a chance to do this.
So thankful.
We're so thankful.
Thankful's best.
All right. You guys have yourself a wonderful day or night or whenever you're listening to this. Just enjoy your day.
And be thankful.